Chapter 26. Sally was being chased, but no matter how hard she ran, she couldn't escape her pursuers. Her heart was pounding and her throat was red raw. She looked over her shoulder. Her pursuers were gaining on her, and that didn't make any sense, because she was a runner, and she was younger and fitter than they were. She looked down at the grass. It seemed to be sucking at her feet, and lifting them was an effort. She was finding it hard to breathe, as if there was a steel clamp around her chest. She didn't seem to be sucking in enough air, no matter how hard she tried. "Sally! Sally!" They were shouting her name. She looked over her shoulder. There were three men chasing her, big men dressed in black, carrying large guns with bulbous silencers. Where had they come from? They were in the middle of the park. There were no roads nearby. Yet they had appeared from nowhere. They weren't tiring either. They seemed fresh and full of fire. She turned away and concentrated on running, but her feet were like lead. "Sally!" she heard, and then something grabbed her foot. She screamed and woke up. Tim took a step back, shocked by her outburst. She was still confused, and she rolled off the sofa and came up in a crouch, her hands in the air, fingers curled like talons. Tim put his hands up to placate her. "Hey, it's me," he said. "Calm down." She took a deep breath and straightened up. "Sorry," she said. "I was having a nightmare." "I'd say so. You were tossing and turning and mumbling." "I've been having a rough day," she said. She looked around the room. "I didn't know where else to go." She sat down and put her head in her hands. "What the fuck's going on, Sally?" he said. "I'm in trouble," she said. "I gathered that," he said. "I didn't think you broke in because you wanted to pick up where we left off." She looked up at him. "Tim, I didn't have anywhere else to go." "Clearly. Look, you broke up with me, remember? You can't just waltz back in when you need somewhere to crash. That's what hotels are for. How did you get in anyway?" "I still have a key," she said. "You never asked for it back. And you thought that gave you the right to just let yourself in?" "There are men out there trying to fucking kill me," she said quietly. It took a couple of seconds for what she had said to sink in. Then his eyes widened. "So what now?" "There are men with guns trying to kill me," she said, saying each word slowly and clearly as if addressing a child.
"Who?"
"I don't know."
"Why?"
"I don't know. Have you been drinking?"
"No."
"Why would you ask that?" His upper lip curled up in a look of disdain.
"Are you on something?"
She glared at him.
"Of course not.
Coke? Ice?" She threw up her hands in frustration.
"Tim, what the fuck?
I'm being hunted like an animal and you accuse me of being a drug addict." She folded her arms and stared at the floor. He sat down next to her and put his arm around her shoulders.
"What's happening? What's going on?"
She shook her head.
"You won't believe me."
"Is it because of your job?" She nodded.
"I think so."
"So why aren't they helping you?
Why are you here and not at work?"
"Because I can't trust anybody," she said. "Sally, I'm not following you," he said. "You need to tell me what happened from the start." She sniffed and nodded.
"Okay,"
she said. She looked at him and forced a smile.
"Look, despite what you said about me being a drunk and a drug addict, I could seriously do with a drink right now."
He took his arm from around her shoulder and patted her on the leg.
"That's the spirit," he said.
"There's still a bottle of that rosé you like in the fridge," he said.
"You remember where the kitchen is?"
She ignored the sarcasm. He had every right to be annoyed, turning up the way she had and effectively breaking into his house. She pushed herself up off the sofa, went along the hallway to the kitchen and opened the fridge. She took the bottle of wine out and opened the drawer to get a corkscrew, then took two glasses from the cupboard to the left of the cooker. She smiled at the thought that she was as familiar with Tim's place as she was with the flat she shared with Callum and Laura. Her heart lurched at the thought of what had happened to Callum. She opened the bottle and took it and the glasses into the sitting room. Tim had already kicked off his shoes, loosened his tie, and dropped down onto the single armchair. He leaned forward and opened a pizza box that he'd obviously brought with him. Sally groaned when she saw the pineapple.
"Who puts fruit on a pizza?" she asked, giving him one of the glasses and pouring wine into it.
I do, said Tim. It's my pizza, and I'll eat it any way I want to.
It's not as if I was expecting you. Sally sat down on the sofa. The pizza did smell good, and she grabbed a slice. Tim watched her, clearly wondering if she was going to pick off the pineapple. It was one of the things that had driven him crazy when they were a couple. She grinned, left the pineapple where it was, and took a large bite. Tim took a gulp of wine and grabbed a slice of pizza. You're looking good, Sally, he said, taking a bite of his slice.
I look like shit, she said.
I've not seen you dress like that before.
I went to a charity shop, she said.
He stopped eating, his pizza suspended in the air on the way to his mouth.
You what?
I needed to change my appearance, she said.
Which brings me back to my original question. What the fuck is going on?
She looked at him for several seconds, unsure what she should say. Under her employment contract, she was forbidden to discuss Secret Service matters with anyone outside MI5, and the Official Secrets Act, which she had signed on the day she had joined MI5, meant she could go to prison for revealing any of the service's secrets. She sighed, gulped down her wine, then told Tim everything that had happened, from the moment she had discovered the bodies in the Wimbledon house to running across the common, giving away her phone and watch, and getting the bus over the river. His jaw dropped when she explained how she had seen the Outlander near her flat, and the flashes when Callum had gone inside. Tim had met Callum several times when he had visited her in Fulham.
You're saying that these guys killed Callum?
Sally swallowed. Her mouth had gone suddenly dry.
There were two flashes. I think they shot him, Tim. I think he walked into the flat and they fucking shot him.
You don't know that for sure.
No, I'm sure. Have you tried calling Callum?
I don't have his number. I mean, I had it, but only on my phone.
You seriously think he's dead?
She nodded. They killed 7 people in Wimbledon, she said.
I doubt that one more would worry them.
There's been nothing about this on the TV, he said.
They'll have kept it quiet, said Sally. Dee noticed the works.
And these guys in the black SUVs, they're still after you?
So far as I know, yes.
It's unbelievable, she finished for him. He nodded.
Yeah.
I keep having to pinch myself, but it happened, Tim. I believe you.
He looked at her earnestly, and she held his look for several seconds.
Thank you, she said eventually.
For what?
For believing me?
For being on my team?
I turn up out of the blue with a story that even I'm having trouble believing, and you just accept it.
I don't deserve you, Tim. I never deserved you.
I wouldn't say that. And one thing I can say about you, Sally,
you are never boring.
He paused. The question now is, what are we going to do?
We?
I'm in this with you now, Sally. I'll do whatever I can to help you. He ran a hand through his hair.
And you think they were tracking you through your phone?
Or the watch?
I was heading back to the office in an Uber and they forced us off the road, she said. How else could they have known what car I was in?
Maybe they saw you getting into the car?
I didn't see them outside the house and I was wearing a wig.
What?
This woman gave me a wig and a parka, so even if they had seen me getting into the car, they wouldn't have known it was me. But they found me while we were on the road.
But you got away. Like I said, I ran across the common.
They came after me, but they weren't runners.
Tim smiled.
Nobody runs like you, he said.
Mo Farah, maybe.
Then I went to one of the houses I look after. I called my boss, and he said he'd send help, but the bad guys turned up. So that means either my boss told them where I was, or they were tracking my phone.
Except that sort of tracking ability is the province of GCHQ and MI5, right?
These days, who knows,
said Sally.
The Russians can probably do it. The Chinese, maybe?
Your boss, you said he might have told them where you were.
I said it was a possibility, but I don't see why he'd do that. He's a cantankerous bugger, but I don't think he'd be involved in the murder of his staff,
she shrugged.
It's way more likely that they managed to track my phone.
So in theory, having dumped the phone and the watch, you're okay now.
Except that they knew where I lived.
They didn't follow me there. They were waiting for me. So no, I'm not okay now. I'm very far from okay. What do you want to do, Sally? He asked. Just tell me and I'll help you. She sat forward and put her head in her hands and stared at the floor. I wish I knew, she said.